Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family, and we thank you so much for joining us for our weekly Thursday night call, where we have a variety of very relevant conversations. And every Thursday, we're here to have a sober discussion of the economic and political plight of Black people, which is a very, very serious matter that we need to take control of. And we are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it forward to future generations. And we will continue this conversation shortly after we finish out this musical piece. Once again, greetings, family, and we thank you so much for joining us. We are here in the right place where we're going to have a very good conversation tonight like we do every Thursday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, brought to you by Us Lifting Us. And we invite you to join us by telephone and also by internet radio. And for anyone on internet radio, you can reach us with questions or comments at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And you press 1 on your keypad when you're ready to speak. And you can also reach us by internet radio worldwide at www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. And we thank you so much once again for being with us. I'm Brother Thurman, an Us Lifting Us member. And tonight, along with the rest of the family, we have Sister Q, and she's got a very good topic and conversation to bring, a relevant conversation to bring tonight. Welcome, Sister Q, and give us some good word for the audience.
Thank you, Brother Thurman. Peace. Thank you. Greetings to the family. It's good to be here, and I hope that I could do justice to the subject matter. It's something that I think we need to discuss because Us Lifting Us has as part of its agenda the idea that we are a sovereign organization and we are, our members are sovereign. So tonight we thought that we would just give a brief overview of what it means to be sovereign.
Good word, good word. Very vital to have clarity because we've got so many problems in the world because we are wrapped up and been programmed and socialized into balls of confusion, and we need that clarity. So we thank you so much, and we want to go ahead and get started. And tonight, the topic for tonight is, topic point is, testing positive for sovereignty, testing positive for sovereignty. And Sister Q, you gave us a little word about sovereignty, and tell us more. And you talked about it, but if you got any other things you want to add about the why and the what is the meaning of sovereignty, and just carry on with the conversation.
Okay. Well, like I said, the reason why for the topic is that, as an organization, sovereignty is kind of is built into our program and our agenda. So, you know, people hear words, and sometimes there's not clarity as to what the words mean. So to bring everybody to at least the same book, if not on the same page, I thought that it would be helpful to define what we mean by when we use the word sovereign. Now, my definition of sovereignty, and since I'm a sovereign, I can define words for myself. Sovereignty is the right to do what you want to do as long as you do not harm anyone else, and the responsibility to be held accountable for the outcomes of your actions, so that we can't blame anybody else for our actions. We have to make what you would call, well, now they use the word informed consent. You have to know what you're doing, why you're doing it. You have to do your own study to make sure that when you take the action, that is the proper action for you. We are being guided, particularly in this political climate, to do things for other people, even though those things may be against our own best interests and quite possibly against the interests of the people that we are being told to do these things for. And part of the reason is because we lack proper information on what it is we're doing, why it is we're doing, why we're being told to do it, with the agenda of the people telling us to do it. So as if we're going to take the sovereign approach, we have to decide for ourselves. We have to get as much information as we can on our own and make what they call an informed choice, which is not something that we've been brought up to do. We've been brought up, you know, that we have leaders and our and we should just do what our leaders tell us to do. Just, you know, leave it to them to do all the thinking for us. Leave it to them to provide us with whatever information we need to make the choice they want us to make and go along from there. So as people who are building an organization, building a system. We want to have embedded in the system this idea that we are responsible for ourselves. We have the right to do what we want as long as we don't hurt anybody, for sure. But we also have to take responsibility for the things that we do. We hear people all the time talking about the rights that we have, but it's very infrequent for people to say, I am responsible for the outcome of exercising my rights. And so that is why I think it's important for us to clarify that.
Okay. Good word. Good word. Tell us, when you say we are responsible and we are to be held accountable, how do you visualize that, considering how we've been misled and made confused? How do you see it if tomorrow there was a dramatic and huge awakening of our people in terms of being responsible and being held accountable for our actions? How would you visualize that would affect our world position and our worldview starting tomorrow when that happens?
Okay, I would say starting tomorrow, when we say that everything from today backward, we did not know. We were just given the information. You know, we just operated on information that was given to us. Once we decide that we're going to operate as sovereigns, then we become responsible. So then we say, okay, well, what were we told that was not true? How do we rectify the actions that we took in our ignorance? And ignorance doesn't mean stupid. It just means we didn't know, okay? So now we know, you know, like the old people say, when you know better, you do better. So tomorrow we take it upon ourselves to say, okay, what do we need to know? And we make an effort to learn. And it's a choice that we have to make. So we don't blame ourselves for what we didn't know yesterday, because we didn't know, okay? We did the best we could with the information we had at that time. Now we have, so to speak, had the scales removed from our eyes. We could see better. We are, you know, our ears are no longer lapped over, so we could hear better. We can understand better. So we just go ahead forward. As long as we have not violate, as long as we go forward with the intention that we will not violate anyone else and we will not be violated. Now, we say we will not be violated. People, I think, get confused when you say you can go along and do what you want as long as you don't harm anyone else. People think that means that you cannot defend yourself. That is not what it means at all. You always have the right to protect yourself. That is a right given to you by the very fact that you are breathing on the planet. You know, every living being has the right to protect itself with whatever is the means of the day, you know, or whatever is handy. Because sometimes, you know, you don't have anything but a stick if you have to defend yourself. You know, you might just have a stick. You might have a rocket launcher. I don't know. Depends on what your situation is. But we always take the position that we have the right to protect ourselves. So when people say, we say you don't have the right to violate anyone else, and you have the right to protect yourself from others who are violating you and take responsibility for it. You know, yes, I was being accosted and I beat him upside the head with a baseball bat, whatever. Just as long as you do not initiate the violence, you do have the right to protect yourself. You have the right to protect your family. You have the right to protect Like, you don't have the right to go across the country and hit somebody, or go across the world and hit somebody for no good reason. You don't have the right to do that, but you do have the right to defend your immediate surroundings. So we have to be clear on that, I think, when we speak on sovereignty, because, you know, there are people that say they're sovereign and they are, you know, I don't believe in violence. Well, it's not violence. You don't have to believe in violence to protect yourself. You have the right to protect yourself. And people think, you know, we always say, well, the Creator will help us. The ancestors will help us. This one will help us. The other one will help us. The key word there is help. You have to show an interest in protecting yourself first. If you're just going to stand there waiting and you're not going to lift a finger to defend yourself or protect yourself, that's, you're just waiting for a savior. There's no such thing. There is someone who will come join you in your efforts, but nobody's going to do it entirely for you. So I think that's something that we have to be very clear on. So we're not saying that, you know, we're sovereign and you can come snatch our stuff. That ain't happening. We are sovereign. We are creating a method to build for ourselves, and we intend to defend what we have. Now, as the people that we are with melanin and stuff, our defense may not always look like a physical thing. It may be a spiritual shield that we build around ourselves and our properties or whatever, or a mental kind of, I don't know how to say, well, I'll just use the word shield again, a mental shield that we put up that can protect us and ours, you know. It's a lot more to that than, and a part of being sovereign is that we have the right to study this. We have the right to have our own authority. A sovereign is their own authority. We don't have to listen to anybody outside of ourselves. So if somebody, so we decide that we want to figure out how to build a mental force field around everything we create so we don't have to worry about our stuff being invaded or this, that, and the third. We have the right to do that. You know? It's everything is on us.
Good word. Good word. Yes, I love that. And that's a powerful part of the conversation when you're talking about that shield. And if we look back at our ancestors that were in tune with themselves and the universe and the earth and the earth energies, there are those that can speak to you about doing that. And there are Africans right now that not enough of them know, as you said earlier, about what we don't know and we need to know. And a part of our responsibility is to know. And so that means we're responsible to learn. And like Malcolm said in so many words, learn some of everything, because you never know where you might be able to use it. And there are Africans that, when you talk about that shield, there are still some Africans that if you talk to them about putting a fence around a piece of land, some of them would smile or may laugh about it, because in their history and in their generational history, they had known how to put a invisible energy fence around their compound or whatever it is they were surrounding, and they didn't have a problem with it being crossed by whatever they were trying to keep out, including animals. And we're missing by not, as you said earlier, we lack the proper information. And so now we've got to, like Les Brown, the motivator, said, we got to be hungry. And Malcolm was hungry. Malcolm said, I could spend every day just learning. And if every day we had that kind of attitude, as Malcolm expressed, we would be able to build that shield and go forward and be the kind of person that he was when he traveled around the world, Europe included. And he was well received because he had great clarity in what he was talking about. So I just thank you for everything you've said, including bringing up that shield, which is very vital that we tune back in, that we have within us powers that we're not using, that's just dormant because we've been led astray to be, as you said, looking outside and do nothing for a savior to do something, and we do nothing, and that's not even practical, and evidence shows that it's not working.
Exactly.
So, and you mentioned defending ourselves, and it reminds me of nature defends themselves, and nature, in most instances, they don't have a desire to go and attack anyone or anything just for the fun of it. And much of nature, including those that are equipped very well to defend themselves, will run first. And on the higher level of our people, when we deal with that subject of defense, the highest choice is not first to fight. The highest choice is to, or not to fight physically, but to find some way, including that mental shield and that mental power, to avoid it. You know, you take animals like bears and lions. They know that every time they get in a fight, even with each other or with some other animal that's their size or match for them, they know that they're at risk of injury. And so if you take that higher road to not get into that physical, then nobody is at risk of injury. Go right ahead.
No, I was going to say, and the injury could put them at risk for being killed later on because they're no longer at their optimum ability to defend themselves, you know.
You're so right, sister. You're so right.
It's like the injury could, it might not kill me now, but if enough damage is done, I'll be killed later because I'm weakened by the very fact that I'm injured. So, yeah, that makes, you know, that's something we don't think about, partly because, you know, we have hospitals and all these other things that disease and injury is kind of like accepted as a norm for us. So we don't tend to realize how or when we risk getting in a fight for no good reason, that could leave us injured.
So tell us in the subject of sovereignty, and we're determining what sovereignty is for us. Are there any laws? I mean, do we follow this system's laws, or what do we follow?
Well, as sovereigns, we can create our own laws, but I think the closest to what sovereigns operate under is what is called natural law. And I was trying to find how to define natural law, and today I came upon someone that gave a definition that was really like two sentences. And it says, under natural law, you can move around the surface of the earth unmolested as long as you cause no harm, loss, or injury to another living soul and conduct no fraud in your transaction. And that's it. You know, you don't have to figure out if we're all operating on natural law, we don't have to figure out, is it legal to do this in this place and not legal to do it in that place, because all you are asking for is the right to be left. It's basically the right to be left alone as you move about the planet. You do not defraud anybody. We could take it back like to Ma'at, you know, truth, justice, righteousness, balance, reciprocity, harmony, order. Do all of those things as you move along the planet. So you're not trying to bother nobody. Nobody's trying to bother you. Everybody's trying to just do their thing honestly, you know. That's the end of the law. You know, people say do unto others as you would have others do unto you, that kind of stuff. Just the right to be left alone. I won't bother you. You don't bother me. I acknowledge your presence here. I honor you as being who you are and all of those things, but I don't bother you and you don't bother me. If we want to, conduct some kind of business or whatever, we know that both of us will be honest in our dealings. That's the extent of the law. It's not, you know, like in the United States, you got all of these books with millions of pages of stuff that nobody understands, and that's supposed to be the law. No, you can very easily, a child can understand. You're free to do what you want to do, just don't hurt nobody. Don't bother don't injure anybody. A child can understand that. So I think part of it, too, is that in the United States, we are under what they call Roman law. And the first maxim of Roman law is let he who will be deceived be deceived. Or as one of my friends said, find a fool, thump his head. But the thing is this, you are presumed to know, you're presumed to know the truth of a matter. And then I can come along and tell you something that is not true. And if you go along with what I told you, it's your own fault because you should have known better. And that's basically how the United States court system works. You know, you go into court, they say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, you got a million pages of law. How am I supposed to know? That's no excuse. You see, they wouldn't have a million pages of law if they didn't want to deceive you. Okay, simple things like remember when Bill Clinton was being impeached and they asked us to blah 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 blah, and he said it depends on what your definition of is, and people were like, oh, that's so silly, blah blah blah. I got a hold of a law dictionary. And I decided to look up the word is. And right now, I don't remember if it was a page and a half or a column and a half, but is had a whole lot of different definitions. And you would think that that would be a simple thing. Is means is, but he was saying, which one of these many different definitions of is are you referring to at this time? So we can be deceived, you know.
And on that word deceived, and you said earlier, and you're talking about this Roman law where part of it says, let he who will be deceived be deceived. That is totally different from speaking of the principles of Ma'at of truth, justice, righteousness. I mean, balance, harmony, order, with following this natural law, which includes Ma'at, or Ma'at is a way of having clarity of natural law. Now you talk about the Roman law, and it's saying, let he who will be deceived be deceived. That sounds like a cruel system.
It is a cruel system. It's a very cruel system. Yes, because you're walking along, you don't know what someone's intent is for you. You know, even so-called in the law, they come up with, And they deceive you even to the fact of what is law. Because basically, if you're dealing with natural law, you know what the law is, right? But in the U.S., we don't deal with laws. The Constitution is allegedly the law of the land. And under the Constitution, you have unalienable rights, which would kind of mean that under natural law, you could do what you want to do. But what does the U.S. give you? They give you codes. They give you regulations. They give you acts. They give you statutes. And they tell you all of these things are law. Let he who will be deceived be deceived. If you believe, if you believe that an act is a law, then I can tell you to do what the act says. If you believe a mandate is a law, I can tell you, you'll do what the mandate says. It's not a law, but you allowed yourself to be deceived because I just told you that and you went and picked it up and ran with it. So that is,
yes.
It's not a friendly environment, okay?
I get that, Sister Yu. You're so right. Family, Sister, just want to make an announcement. Family, we thank you so much by telephone as well as internet radio. And as I said in the beginning of the call, we're heard around the world, and we have Us Lifting Us has members all around the world. And we invite you to participate, to listen and take notes. And also, you've got questions or comments, you feel free to call in at 929-477-2789 with your questions or comments. And Sister Q, let's take a very, very short musical break, and we will be right back, and let's continue this conversation. And family, once again, we do thank you so much for being with us and being a part of this conversation. And as I said, you can join us with your questions or comments at 929-477-2789. And Sister Q, let's continue on with this conversation because it's bringing forth information and a way of living, a way of thinking that many of us are never thinking about unless we bring it to them. And so you're doing a very good, you got a very vital topic. And the topic, once again, is testing positive for sovereignty. And earlier, Sister Q had given us a very good definition and some more insights about sovereignty. So Sister Q, we ended before we took the break you were talking about natural law as well as this deceiving Roman law. And tell us more about sovereignty and authority and things along that line.
Okay, so what we would say is under natural law or as being a sovereign, you do not have an authority outside of yourself. That does not for some people, that may mean that we are godless people. I'm not saying that. We acknowledge our connection to the Creator. And I guess you could say if there is an authority, it is the spark of the Creator that dwells within us, that comes out of us and helps us as we move along on our path. So, you know, because people are very quick to say there is no God and there's the, you know, all that stuff. That's not what we're saying at all. As a matter of fact, we are saying that the right that we have to move along and go about our business unmolested is given to us by the Creator. What the energy, whatever, however you want to define how you got here, that entity, that spirit, that energy that puts you here is the energy that gives you the right to be your own authority, to stand on your square, to do what is proper for you, as long as you don't injure anyone in the doing. And if you do injure someone, then you have the responsibility to make it right for them. So I think when we look outside of ourselves for authority, particularly under Roman law, okay, because it's let he who will be deceived. If I'm your authority figure, I don't want, and I perceive myself as having power over you, I'm not going to give you all the information that you need to take your power back. Okay, so that's one of the reasons we say there is no authority outside of yourself. In taking responsibility and exercising your rights, you become your own authority. You become your own expert. Does that mean you have to know everything? No. What it means, though, is that you have the right to find the information that works best for you. That could come from another person. It could come from anywhere. But you're not obligated to, you know, to just say, well, let's put it like this. When we go to a doctor, in law, the word patient actually means someone who does not have, I forget the word, darn. It's like I don't have the capability to handle my own physical body. Okay, so I'm a patient. I give the doctor or take care of my body. Okay, this is why sometimes the doctor will take you to court if he wants to do a procedure and you don't agree, particularly if there's a child involved, because by signing up that you're the patient, you've already said, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm telling you to handle it. And the doctor's saying, well, you're stopping me from doing my handling of your business, so I'm going to take you to court so they can make you let me do what you said you wanted me to do in the first place. So, again, as let he who will be deceived, because when you sign the paper saying that that you want to be such and such a one's patient, they don't tell you that's what that means. And you, in common usage every day, nobody thinks that's what that means. Okay. But under the law, legally, that's the way these contracts are written. That's what it says, legalese. It's a different kind of word. So when we do our thing as sovereigns, we say our yes is our yes, our no is our no. We say what we mean, and we mean what we say. You don't need a dictionary to figure out what we're talking about. You don't need a thesaurus or a legal dictionary to find out what we mean when we write is. You know, we're dealing, I guess you could say, in the least common denominator. Like, you know, it's the words, it's what is commonly understood for a word to mean, so that we don't really need attorneys in our everyday everything, because we are talking plain. It's something that you say, something about word. But anyway, that's kind of what it is. We mean what we say, so that it's like a matter of honor And I guess that's part of what your word is your bond. That's another way of saying that. When you say something, like people used to say, when I said you can take it to the bank, you know, my word has value. It has meaning. I don't say things just to get you to be manipulated and do what I want you to do. I don't try to deceive you. I don't dishonor you. I don't dishonor myself by deceiving you. We are a sovereign man and woman operating honestly in the spirit of my eye, you know, under natural law, all of those things, and kind of foundation that basically Ulu is built on, because a set of our founding principles is Ma'a.
Good word, good word. That's powerful family as well. you have said a lot of powerful things, and in the last few minutes, when you were talking about words and that we didn't have to have a dictionary and a thesaurus, is it because, and I'm asking you, if we're following the sovereign thinking and behavior, natural law, Maya, would we have ever had a dictionary or thesaurus, or were we operating in our higher self and that sovereign right to just exist and go and be and do what you do without violating anybody? And so did you need a whole lot of words in order to just live in harmony like that?
I would say not.
I think not.
I would think not.
And so then when we are deceived by this Roman law, now this creates all of these complications. Is that part of the difference between us with our natural sovereign law?
That is exactly what happens. And I think that in our genetic memory, we understand natural law and sovereignty and honor and ma'at and my word being my bond and all that other stuff. So as we go through society here, that's the kind of energy we're coming from. In a place where the rule is let he be deceived, be deceived. So they're operating on one level of deception, and we're trying to be honest in our dealings. And so that comes, you know, like somebody, you want to do business with somebody and they give you this contract that's like, I don't know how many pages long, and they tell you, you know, some of it, but not all of it. And you sign the contract based on what they said, okay? So now you have a binding contract, and whatever happens, there becomes a dispute, and it says, well, that's not what's in the contract. And you say, well, we didn't discuss that. Well, you didn't discuss it, but in the contract on page whatever, it says right here, see? So, again, we're deceived because we're walking in honor among dishonest people.
Wow. And based on what you just said, we're walking in honor amongst dishonest people. So in your thinking, I'm asking, have a large percentage of our people been so duped they actually believe that their way is the way?
The way of the others, the dishonest ones, the Roman law? Is that the question?
Yes.
Yes, our people have been duped. And I would have to say that I can't say a percentage, but I think there are some who operate in that way, in the same, because they've been exposed to it and they want to meet success based on the standard of the environment. So they do those kinds of things and they get used to doing it, and it's the, and it becomes like, well, in Rome, do as the Romans do. So, you know, you know, the Roman philosophy is to be deceptive, and I'm in Rome, so I'll be deceptive. It's not illegal, okay? However, it is unlawful, and it is immoral. But they don't deal with that. They just deal with the legalities of it. And that's not how we want to operate, you know. It's got to be legal. It's got to be moral. It cannot harm anyone, that kind of thing.
And what you were just saying, and earlier when you talked about responsibility, do we have the responsibility to awaken and reawaken to our higher self, and as part of our responsibility to represent and carry and think and behave to put an end to this insane, immoral thinking?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. However, I mean, it's like a personal thing. I am responsible to live this under natural law. Everyone is responsible to live in that way, because you can't have a good society without it. That's what part of all the problems are in the West, that they don't have honor.
Yeah, you said it again. We can't have a good society. Say that piece again.
We can't have a decent society without honor. If everybody's going around trying to get over on each other, that we can't grow, develop, and create awesome civilizations like we used to do. So, Ulu, let's take Ulu. We are developing a new way of being, the Ulu culture, right? So it's, and it's really, I said it's new, but it's not really new. We're going back to the ways of the ancestors living under my eye and being honest with each other and truthful and all of those other good qualities. So that's the culture that we're developing or redeveloping or bringing forth out of ourselves, because it's already in us. Part, I think, of the reason that we are drawn to Ulu or that we want to build in the Ulu model is because we recognize that the outside world does not nourish us in our righteous way of being. You know, we don't want to live in a world where we deceive one another. We don't want to live in a world where our words don't mean anything. We are creating a culture where our yes is yes and our no is no. So when I say something to you, you, like you say, you could take it to the bank. Our word is our bond. This is how we operate. It's not for everyone, because some people like the way of the other, you know, they like the deceptive stuff. They like the mind games. They like the manipulation. They get a sense of power from ill-treating other people. You know, we have to recognize that. And we don't want them among us, you know. So I think not for everyone. it cannot be. As people wake up and decide that they want an honest culture, an honest way of doing business, an honest way of living, then, you know, it's like a commercial I saw many years ago. It was for, I think it's Personal PC or something like that. And in the commercial, you had all of these characters like stick figures walking in one direction. And I think they were all painted blue. And one of them turned, excuse me, let me get a drink of water, okay? That made it worse. Okay, so the characters were all painted blue, I think, and then one character turned black and turned around and went in another direction. And then another character turned black and went in another direction. And one by one, the characters started turning black and going in another direction. So that's kind of how Ulu gets, you know, people pick up. We realize we don't want this, and then we get an idea, oh, okay, I prefer something else. And they'll come here for a righteous way of doing business, a righteous way of living.
Okay. Yes. Good. We need to turn like the stick figures and turn black in our thinking and in our behavior and representing black. And we need to have the awakening, reawakening to that we would do that. And I'm with that. It's kind of like Martin Luther King that had a reawakening on a higher conscious and a higher clarity, I should say. And that's why he made the statement. There was a big shift in him and a big shift in how he was thought of by the Romans when he said, I now see I've been leading our people into a burning house. And another powerful thing, you mentioned words, one of the most powerful phrases that Martin Luther King also ever said was, we've got to get the language right. And that includes words. And if we're talking the language of deception, that's not right. And if we're talking about natural law and my art and doing that, when we get the language right and we make it a part of us, and words have power and words have vibration, we make it a part of us, then we would be responsible and we would be on our center every day and confident in that sovereign, being on that sovereign center, being responsible and accountable for our outcomes. And that fits right in with the Ulu model, is we were responsible for our outcomes in creating huge economics for our people and employing our people and leaving legacies for future generations. And I definitely thank the family that's being quiet and taking notes and hearing the powerful messages that you're bringing forward. And in this last few minutes, just go ahead and close us out in any other thing you want to add to the conversation about sovereignty and being a healthy race. Give us some more words as we're winding down.
Okay, so I think that what we might want to recognize is as a sovereign, we are like what I consider an autonomous cell. I think of our race as like a body. Okay, so each one of us is a cell within the body. And each of us has to identify what kind of cell we are and then join with other like cells to form organizations so that it begins with us understanding who we are. Because, you know, people say that we have too many organizations. Well, does the body have too many organs? Each organ has a function. Each organ does what it needs to do. So in order for the body to be perfectly healthy, each organ must be healthy and function at its maximum capability. So in order for the organ to be at its maximum capability, each cell must also be at its maximum capability. So as a sovereign coming together with other cells, we must be as healthy as we possibly can in order to create healthy organizations that work for the overall benefit of our race body. And I think that's about it. And on another thing I wanted to, because under the Roman law, they say might makes right. So if a bunch of people get together and do something wrong, it's okay because it's a bunch of them. Under natural law, sovereignty, that kind of stuff, that is not true. If it is a violation from one man or woman to do something to someone, it is a violation for a group of men and or women to do something to someone. So if it's a violation for me to steal from you, Brother Thurman, it is a violation for a group of people to steal from you. And if the group of people call themselves government, it's still a violation for that group to steal from you. So we have to be very clear on what violations are and operate in that framework that we do not violate one another no matter what. We don't gang up on each other to, you know, to violate each other. We are always working in harmony, truth, righteousness, justice, peace. We want order. All of these things that we have in our genetic memory of the times when our ancestors created the great monuments and things that we see before our very eyes now. We say, well, we don't know how they did it. Probably, I think, part of the reason we don't know how they did it is because we are not that level of spiritual development or mental capacity. We're still down here scrapping with the Romans. You know, when we can get all that stuff off of our eyes, we'll be able to see.
And that ability to see, of being able to see, is it already in us?
Yeah, sure.
So it's there waiting for us to come.
It's waiting for you to come, yes. It's waiting for us to come to it. It never went anywhere.
It never went anywhere. Wow.
No.
Okay.
For various reasons, we just, there were times when it was a life-threatening to demonstrate the awareness. You know, they say anything you don't use, you lose. So over time, we have, for various reasons, not used our capabilities. And again, we just, it's almost like just that you have not because you have not because you ask not. We haven't asked for these things to come back online. And as we ask for it, more of us ask for it, and then we, you know, and we can't be, one of the things that we do is we don't, we belittle each other. We belittle each other when someone has a skill or a talent of a spiritual nature or a otherworldly, you know, cause, or let's put it like this, let's call it an ancient talent because it is of this world. We were doing it here, but that was a long time ago. So we have these ancient talents that some of us are bringing them back online, and the ones that don't, that have not yet decided to bring them online, possibly because they don't even know we have them, tend to belittle the people that do have them. And in some instances, the people that bring them back online are skittish. They are not confident because everything around them tells them there's something wrong with them to begin with. Okay?
Well.
So when they try to bring the information forward, they get ridiculed or, you know, they get taken to the psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever, and given meds to stop them from having these whatever, you know. So
we need to do what you said, which is that the topic is testing positive for sovereignty. And we need to come back to our sovereign ways of living and thinking in natural law and Mayat, and that would correct that misguided thinking. And family, and Sister Q, we thank you so much for the insight that you gave us, and you're bringing this higher level of clarity about thinking, about sovereignty, which is essential, along with us lifting us in this cooperative economics model that we have in place and that we are building. And it's essential. And family, we're going to be back next Thursday with another very vital topic. And Sister Q, once again, we thank you for being with us. And our time is has come to an end for this evening. And everybody, take the words of sovereignty about natural law and weigh it on the scale of Mayat against this Roman law. And let your mind guide you and do like Martin Luther King said, get the language right and let's get this clarity, get the confusion out and let's be great again. And tonight, being that it's time for us to retire to the Garden of Peace, and Lonnie Lifton Smith is going to lead us in that journey as we close out. And once again, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us.